Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville. Thanks so much for being with us. Lots to get to over the next 3 hours. It was a busy night last night. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man, it was a busy schedule dropping. For the Gipper type situation?
For the what?
Win one for the Gipper.
Oh.
Win one for the Gipper situation. Like Boston.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Win one for the Gipper. I too take pride. Now, you know, I'm bad with names and everything, especially when they got foreign names. Right, and so whenever these Braves relievers come in, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Now, he's probably relieved and everything like that. But I'm like, who the hell is this guy? I know the guy got on yesterday and everything like that. And I know bullpens aren't perfect and everything like that. And we'll get to that in a second. But God dog it, what a frustrating damn game.
Yes, very frustrating. Frustrating to see that thing dwindle away the way that it did. After Bryce Elder pitched so well. Again, six innings, one earned run, really looked solid. Hands it over to the bullpen with a 4-1 lead, and then Bummer and De Los Santos just kind of let it slide away. Like, hey, your guy Montero pitched good.
He was all right. when I saw him.
Came in and pitched good.
When I saw him, I had the biggest eye roll, too. I really, really did, because I thought it was going to get even worse. But he held it down.
Yeah. After the other two dorks. Look, it's one of those things where, obviously it's frustrating to lose a game like that you had an opportunity, you had the lead, the starter does well. The offense did, it got it going a little.
Did it enough.
Four runs, still not a lot. Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk like they're the some sort of like murderer's row or something like that right now. They scored four, which is fine. It'd be cool if they threw up a few more runs than that every once in a while. But it looked like it was enough. And then the bullpen had a bad night. There's no doubt about it. They've been mostly good outside of the closer. But they weren't last night. And I know everyone gets frustrated because it's like, well, why don't you use this guy, put this guy in? It's like they're just not going to handle every single eighth, ninth, the way that you would in game seven of a playoff series. Like, it's the Wednesday night game against the Nationals in May,
Yeah.
Like, you're going to put Eniel De Los Santos in the game. You just are. Like, I don't know. It sucks. I'm not happy that they lost the game, of course, but I don't know. I can't bring myself to be. I've heard the conversation over the last, since it happened, like 12 hours of like here we go, Snit mismanaging the bullpen.
No,
it's
I'm not going to go mismanaging.
Those guys pitch for the Braves, and sometimes they're going to play.
I would never say mismanage. It's just frustrating as hell because it's usually the same damn people that do it. That's the thing about it. But, yeah, I mean, you get to 500, and now you're right back below. You got a day game today. Nooner, as we like to call it here on the Midday Show. And see, hopefully you can get this last win. A.J. Smith's Shaver is on the bump. And also new change in the lineup, moving the young buck up to number two.
Drake Baldwin's catching today and batting second.
As he comes in yesterday.
Gets a hit. Yeah.
You get an opportunity. And I'm curious of why they – you brought it up to me as a right-left thing, why they dropped Austin Riley all the way down to five. But who cares? Go out and win this damn game. Ron LaCouille's making his debut up in Gwinnett, so you can leave. You'll have enough time after the Braves finish smashing the Nationals to drive up 85 to go see Ron LaCouille play.
And also, doubleheader today.
And also his teammate, Drew Kelenic, as you let me know.
Yeah, Jared Kelenic and Ronald Acuña will be sharing an outfield today.
I love it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of conversation last night because Ronald Acuña met with the media for the first time since I don't know when. Obviously about his rehab, and they got there eventually about being happy to be playing baseball again and coming back. Took a few minutes before they talked about anything related to that.
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes exactly of just sort of like repeatedly asking him about the tweet and all of that. I don't know. I mean, I guess now that he's been asked about it, you can move on.
I've moved on.
I get asking him. Like, you got like, hey, like, conversation with Snit or, what was the tweet about, whatever. Like, I get, because the first time you've had a chance to talk to him since it happened, asking him about it.
Right.
I don't know that I get asking him like seven questions about it for 4 minutes while he kind of sat there and was like, all right, does anybody want to ask me how my knee's doing?
No.
No? All right. Just want to ask me about this tweet? Okay. I thought he handled it perfectly. He's in such a great mood because he's actually playing baseball and he's this close to coming back to playing Major League Baseball that you weren't going to ruin his happiness. Mm-mm. But they tried to. Mm-hmm. they kept peppering him with that stuff.
But I mean, it was good that he just went ahead and basically put it in.
Here's what happened.
Because did they ask Schnitt about it again?
They did.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, Schnitt answered it. Now you can go.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. For me, yeah, for sure. And really the answer that you kind of wanted was, have they talked? Yes. Acuña addressed the team. Cool. Mm-hmm. And that's that.
Yep.
You know?
And now we can go. All right. No problem. I'm moving. It'd be fun to see him. And then also how he progresses. Like, if he goes out of the day-to-day, because it's like, all right, come on, man. Come on to Boston. Hey, fly him up to Boston.
Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't think he's going to Louisville next week.
Why not, man? Oh, no. We already had a conversation about Louisville.
I don't need him riding the bus to Louisville. I mean,
they would fly him, probably.
You think so?
Yeah,
they would fly him separately.
Yeah, they would fly him separately if he had to go to Louisville.
Fly him to Washington.
Let him meet the team in Washington.
Yeah, just go hang out, see some sights, all those other different things, get ready for the squad to be there. But yeah, it's really, really exciting to see that Ronnie is back, and hopefully this week sometime, maybe the series this weekend, that we get a chance to see Spencer Strider.
Oh, yeah.
The possibility for that and everything. Did you get any reports on simulation yesterday or how it went?
He pitched like 35 pitches.
Okay.
Everything went well.
Okay.
As expected. No hammy tightness or anything like that. Velo's a little down.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably going to give him a rehab start or two just to see if he can get the velo up.
Okay. So you won't see him this weekend.
Okay.
Then.
No.
But yeah, look, I mean, those guys are both coming back, hopefully sooner rather than later. And Braves win today. We'll say it again. Get back to 500. They were at 500 for 15 minutes. And now we can get back to 500 because they've been 500.
Now we're back to it.
Now they can get back to 500 by winning today. I do like that Drake Baldwin is catching and batting second. He's certainly earned it.
Yes.
You got to try to find ways to get him in the lineup as much as possible. I know it's complicated because he's a catcher. He doesn't play in the field and all of that. But I like that he's out there today batting second. We'll keep you updated on how that goes. Schedule release yesterday. Obviously, it is the Super Bowl for NFL social media teams. I thought the Falcons knocked it out of the park again with their Mario Kart-themed schedule release. Now, I'm not a huge Mario Kart player.
Neither am I.
I know you're not a huge Mario Kart player.
We know Bo is.
Bo is a huge Mario Kart player, but I just think from the, you know, you can look at it and tell that it was really well done.
Yes.
There's a lot of little funny jokes and jabs in there. Nothing too over the line,
because
they didn't have to delete it like the Indianapolis Colts had to do to theirs.
Yes.
Because they made a joke about Tyreek Hill getting arrested,
which is
like, I don't know how that passes all the different levels of scrutiny. Like
somebody got to talk to
him. Well, somebody's going to get fired.
Yes.
Like, because that's unfortunately what's going to happen.
You can't get your damn team video schedule release video. You can't get deleted.
No.
All right? You can't do. Now, the dork who put it together, had to go to a bigger dork.
Yeah.
All right. Here, big dork. Watch this. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. Put it out.
I just, like, somebody is at a high enough level to have the vetoing power at some point along the process to be like, I don't think we can make a joke about another player in the league getting arrested.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably over the line.
Right.
Like, the Falcons had a little Bill Belichick jab, him and his girlfriend, like, under an umbrella or something, and it said, we're not going to talk about this, and it moved on, like, during the thing. So, okay, like, there's little jokes about your rivals and stuff in all the videos, but, like, little jokes, you know, about stuff like that.
Yes.
But I thought the Falcons did a good job.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I've been watching a lot of them. I watched Seattle Seahawks this morning, which is really cool because a lot of it had – Marshawn in it and everything, and coupled with had some Cam Chancellor portions of it and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, it's a scene, you know, and it's one of those things where, like you said, if it's good, I saw Jacksonville Jaguars. They used old boy, the banana peel face guy.
Oh, they did.
He's from Jacksonville.
Okay,
so they use him.
Yeah.
So yeah, throughout the day, I'm sure there'll be a couple more that pop up on the timeline and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule. I always, when people ask me, what did we look at the schedule? When I was in Miami, we always looked at when are we going to New England, Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
When are we going? That was the main thing. And then, you know, obviously when the bye week was and how many primetime games. When I was in San Diego, pretty much the same thing. And then more than anything, it was like, how many games do we got east of Kansas City? Because all games east of Kansas City were two-day road trips. And so you think about that, everything like that, how many primetime games you have, when is your Thursday night game? So it's so much it goes into, as a player, how you view the schedule when it comes out, as opposed to win-loss, things like that.
Well, let me answer all those questions that you just said, because they all come up.
Yeah.
You go to New England, week 9,
yep,
at the Patriots.
Yep.
That's not too late.
Yep.
It's not going to be cold,
yep,
that cold.
But do you
yet,
think about it?
It can be.
You're coming from Miami, though. Do you think about when we come from Miami, it's 95 degrees when we get on the plane and we get to New England. I think we played them late October one time, Andy, and it was like 12 degrees, you know. So
you know, it does get cold early in Boston, so I suppose that game could be cold. You've got a nationally televised game week 2 at the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. A couple conference or a couple divisional games early, the Bucks week 1 and then the Panthers week 3. So
week 5 bye week is
that kind of gets away from some of the what they had been doing the last handful of years where you played a lot of your rivals, a lot of your division games at the end of the season.
Right.
Now you do have the Saints week 18. So that is the final game of the season against the Saints. But yeah, week 5 bye week is the earliest that you can have it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. I mean, I don't know. There's no matter when the bye week is, there's always a positive and a negative to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How do players feel about early bye weeks?
After a while, you just don't care. Like, it's whatever. That's always what you fight through, because then you're going to have an extra day also of work because you play that Monday night after the bye. Talking about Buffalo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get an extra day of that. And then you kind of lose a day because you're playing that following Sunday night. And so, I mean, it's just crazy how some of these scheduling things go on. I know they're talking about the Eagles don't have any back-to-back home games. And then I think Dallas has four or five Thursday games.
Oh, right. Cause at Thanksgiving,
Christmas.
And then Thursday night, normal.
So, yeah, and another Thursday. So, I've always been curious how they make the schedule and things like that. I just wrote this note down. Don't get flexed for being the reason, Falcons.
Yeah.
Meaning?
Week 17 Monday Night Football?
Yeah, don't get flexed. All right? Don't get flexed out of because of yourself. Maybe your opponent is bad or something like that, but don't get flexed out of it. Don't get flexed.
Yeah, Rams-Falcons week 17 feels like it'll have playoff implications.
Because the Rams stink.
Yeah. You know? Now, last year they got flexed in. Remember? With the Commanders.
Oh, God, yes.
They got flexed in.
I remember that.
That was a great football game.
We were in Vegas when that happened.
Yeah, when it happened.
Yeah, when it happened.
There was rumblings that it might. Yeah. And then, you know, they watched him play that game against the Raiders, and they were like, we have to
put them on.
We got to put this team in prime time.
This team, that team that we just saw play against the Raiders.
We got to give the people what they want. Hey,
who let Desmond Ridder have a throw in the end zone to win. We got to put them on.
They give the nation what they need. Luckily, by then, Penix was playing, and that game was actually really awesome.
Look at it. They're talking about it on TV. Week 17 matchup with larger playoff implications. Houston at the Chargers or the Rams at Atlanta?
Oh, I think it'll be the Rams at Atlanta. It'll be for the number one seed in the NFC.
Let's make that happen.
Let's make it happen. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wiley, did he say baloney? No, that's not baloney.
Hold on. High and deep to right off the bat of Harris. At the wall. Where is it? It popped in the air.
Michael thinks
it's a home run. It's not. It's a triple. I don't think that's a home run.
No, it's not.
There's
a little edge you can see right there.
It was determined the ball hit the top of the wall. The runner will be placed at third base.
Yeah, so obviously a very weird situation last night early in the game with Michael Harris almost hitting a home run.
Boo.
And then they told him he hit a home run, so he did cross the plate and do the Money Mike thing.
Uh-huh.
But then they told him he had to go back to third. We were sitting right there in right field, so when it was – that ball was in the air for – 10 minutes.
Right.
Like, it felt like the ball was in the air forever. And then it hit the wall and bounced way up. If you go back and look at the replay, if you see just a really handsome white guy with a Braves City Edition jersey on.
Oh, you wore the City? You didn't wear the throwback?
And I put it on. I felt weird about it. Okay. I think my dad kind of gave me a hard time. So I was like, all right, I'll wear the Braves jersey. And then he was like, yeah, you told all the listeners you're going to have the Little League jersey on. They're going to think you're a liar. And I was like, all right. My dad's favorite player, by the way, Nick Allen, the shortstop.
Really?
You want to know why?
No.
You don't want to know?
No, I don't know. No, yes, I want to know.
Because he's 5'8".
The hell I got to do anything?
My dad's also 5'8". I think that's what he likes.
Mr. Bunker's not that short.
5'8 and three quarters.
You're taller than Mr. Blee?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't ever seem like Mr. B that short.
Well, he's got a big personality, you know?
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Anyway.
He likes because he's 5'8".
It's really what he said. Yeah, he's 5'8". That's where you like him? Like, yeah. I like that he's small. Okay. But, yeah, the ball hit the wall. It went way up in the air. And from the angle we were at, it kind of looked like it was going to bounce into the stands, which obviously then would have been a home run.
Right.
It bounced back on the field. I want to know what would have happened if they would have tagged him out. Right? Because he got to third base before the ball did, so they let him go to third base. And then they called it a home run, so he went home. Mm-hmm. But then they brought it back and reviewed it, so he got to go back to third base. If they would have tagged him out on his way to third base, would he have been out, do you think?
Probably.
Yeah?
Probably.
Yeah, really. It's one of those weird things where it's
before
like—
Before they stopped the game to look at the home run to replay,
yeah,
it's still a live ball.
Right.
The ball bounced off the wall. It's a live ball.
Right. They didn't call a home run until he was on third base. Yeah. So it's not like he let up or something because— they called the play dead or anything.
Because I like I said, I had just got home from Samson's practice and everything, and so I had the game on, but I was like going in and out of the kitchen. With the pass ball that did they go in the dugout? That's why he got to go to third?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just making sure. Okay, yeah. I was like, why the hell are they getting him third?
Just wouldn't even want to take it. I don't even think C.J. Abrams knew that he was going to be awarded third base.
Right.
He was stealing anyway. Ball goes into the dugout, and then they just give it, yeah.
A lot of weird, fluky, you know, baseball, I guess. That's just kind of what happened.
Yeah.
But the Braves took a 4-1 lead. Elder pitched good, and then the bullpen blew it. Kind of is what it is, you know. It sucks. It would have been
bummer.
Really nice to – yeah, bummer was part of it, yeah. Bummer was part of it, as was De Los Santos.
I finally got to use it.
Yeah, finally got to use it. They're back at it today. Jay Smith-Shawver on the mound, about 45 minutes away. Drake Baldwin's batting second. So good to have him back in the lineup. He pinch hit in the game late last night. Double.
Right on time.
Immediate.
Right on time.
It's like, hey, guys.
Like, you knew it.
Play me.
But you knew it, though. Did you not know when he was up that he was going to do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what a good game last night was? Stuart Fairchild. We were sitting in right field, and I was like, Stuart Fairchild's playing right field tonight? Come on. That's no fun. And then he played awesome. Like, he threw a runner out at second base, had a double, scored a run, played really well. So at least he validated the start.
S-T-U-A.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, S-T-U-A-R-T. Would it be better if it was S-T-E-W-A-R-T?
I like those kind of Stuarts.
You like the W in the stew?
Yep, I like those kind of Stuarts.
Okay. Yep. Would you, if your name was Stuart, would you go by Stu?
Hell yeah.
Stewie?
No.
No?
Well, you almost let me curse. No, I would never go by no damn Stewie. I am a grown-ass damn man. Mm. Ooey does not go on into my name. All right?
Just Andy.
Yes, just Andy. All right, D. Because that was always, did nut drive me crazier than the, because they did it all the time in San Diego. Gatesy, Sprolesy. Like, just call him Gates.
Right.
Okay? Gatesy. Because
there's nothing they can do with yours.
Yeah, but
Randy E.
I hated that when
you're
I was like,
an
this
E.
is a grown-ass man. Stop calling him E.
Get yeah, I know.
It's always E.
Tiger Woods would always do that with everyone on tour. Everyone was E. Stevie.
Yeah, like
Rorzy.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't call him
I guess Rory's already
damn
there.
Stewie.
Yeah, okay.
It sounds like I need to still have a diaper on and a pacifier.
Yeah, it's like the baby from Family Guy. All right, this is his name. Yeah, like a good name for a cartoon baby. Here's Ronald Acuna talking about his conversation with Brian Snitker.
Just apologize and ask for his forgiveness for what I posted and for being a distraction and you know, just wanted to clear the air and you know, move on.
Asking for his forgiveness.
There you have it.
Shit ain't finna hold nothing against you.
I wouldn't think so.
Get rid of it.
I wouldn't think so.
Now all you damn grandstanding ass snit boys can go to hell. All of the damn grandstanding that people who get a microphone want to do.
I agree.
Go to hell and kick rocks.
I agree. The oxygen that this story was given was
just the grandstanding. Like, really?
Outrageous.
Look, Ronald sat down ready to have a fun press conference.
Yeah.
And he knew it would come up at some point. Started the press conference in English, but to not get anything taken out of context with the stupid situation.
Right. He was like, let me switch back to
Franco
Spanish.
As soon as they start talking about this.
Yeah, he was like, let me make sure that we get all of, I don't want anything lost in translation
exactly.
when I'm talking
exactly.
about this. Yeah, because he did. He answered the first couple of questions in English, and he was in a great mood.
Look at this dude. This dude loves to play ball.
It's a great lesson, though, just for like for anybody, because life is those reporters that wouldn't let up.
Yes.
Ronald Acuna can be you. Like, you don't have to let life get you down, even if it won't relent. Like, all right, can you ask me about coming back to play baseball?
Which is far more important.
Is a lot more important. But he kept the same attitude and the same energy the entire time. He was just like, he couldn't wipe the smile off his face. He was very excited when someone finally asked him about playing baseball 5 minutes into the press conference. And then he finally got to talk about it. But I don't know. It was as annoying as it was to watch, and I was like, geez, guys, like, can we talk about something else? Like, everybody wanted their salacious headline for their clicks. But I was just so impressed by him maintaining that, like he was just so happy to be at Truist last night watching his guys play baseball and being in the dugout. And he was like, I'm not going to let you guys ruin that. I'm really, really happy. I'm going to Gwinnett tomorrow to play some more baseball, and hopefully I'll be back here as soon as possible. But I don't know. I took that. It was like a little bit inspirational to see him be so positive even in the face of that nonsense. Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's hear from Atlanta United's Mike Conte as Atlanta United escapes by the skin of their teeth in Austin.
Brad pitches over the top for TRA, who's grabbed. He still knocks it down to Almarone. Miggy pops it ahead to Saab at the penalty spot. Tough angle cross shot. Score! TRA at the back post! 4.5 minutes to play, and it looks like Atlanta United has found an equalizer.
Yeah. Stoppage time equalizer. Thank goodness.
I almost wore my United shirt today, but I was like, what am I proud of? You know, I love this soccer team. You know, they are my favorite soccer team outside of Liverpool, who is my squad. But goodness gracious, they are a frustrating bunch.
Yeah,
they are frustrating because I do believe they're talented, especially up top. I do believe it.
I agree with you.
But something ain't clicking up there.
Mm-hmm.
Something ain't clicking, or somebody ain't clicking up. How about that?
Yeah, there's just just a lot of stuff that I don't entirely understand. For the first half hour, they looked pretty good. Like they were really kind of pressing the pace. They were really kind of on the front foot, as they say. It looked like they were dictating the tempo of the game, and then things just kind of switched. And for the next hour, they didn't do anything.
Are they a second half team?
I don't know.
No. Are they a first half team?
Kind of. They start good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A lot of times they start.
They
good.
Start all right.
And then the team adjusts, and then they kind of stop playing.
Okay,
good.
Can he not adjust to the We talked about this with AJ Smith-Shawver, being able to adjust to what people are doing to you when you have success.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that you can? I know they got one of them fancy ass whiteboard clipboards with the dry eraser. I know they got one, and I know that you can sit up and say, "Hey, I know the game is continuously going, but I know you can just like, hey, fella, look what they're doing to us."
Well, they tried some new stuff yesterday. I mean, they went with three in the back, and it led to a little bit more of an attack. I don't understand kind of how they're using Saba right now, because
he don't look happy.
I don't know. He just looks out of place. Like, with those four guys up front, they should have a really potent attack.
I agree.
And they just flat out don't.
That's what. So how do you change it so it's a three?
Problem is like they had chances early. Like Miggy had a one-on-one and just didn't score it.
They have a bona fide, we call him bucket getter, a goal getter. All right, this dude gets goals. This dude is what he does. He scores. You and I got a striker. You and I got Miggy to do what he does and all those different things. But it ain't. You could have had these same results with the same two dudes that were there last year.
Oh yeah. No, I mean you could have kept Rob result. Valentino.
The same damn result.
Not spent all the money they spent in transfer fees. Not had all the hype coming into the year. Yeah.
Exactly what they did.
Probably better. I mean, Valentino, they beat damn Miami in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
The same thing.
So, yeah, they need to figure it out. It's obviously a long way from it. At least they escaped with 1 point.
Favorite
it's now point. 7 games winless for Atlanta United, which is very tough. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs. Celtics stave off elimination last night. Hell of a performance from a very unlikely source.
Money did he just make?
The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to the Western Conference Finals again. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're thermal in black jeans in the middle of summer in LA playing basketball.
He was trying to. He's cutting weight. He's cutting weight for wrestling season. Hey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your radio home of major championship golf in Atlanta. And this week, we've got the PGA Championship in Charlotte covered. This leaderboard update is brought to you by Humberto Injury Law when it's game time and winning is the only option. And by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors. Quick scoreboard update here in the opening round of the PGA Championship. Alex Noren currently leading at 5-under through 15 holes. Swedish. Very Scandinavian leaderboard currently with some Danish guys up there. I don't know what Hovland's up to if he started yet. But, Alex Noren solo first, 5-under right now. Ryan Fox, 4-under in second place, tied with Luke Donald. Kind of a blast from the past, former world number one. Haven't heard his name for a while. Oh, while we were speaking, live leaderboard update. Ryan Fox makes another birdie, and now he's tied atop the leaderboard at 5-under.
What channel? Is it on Golf Network? Or
ESPN, I believe, has the coverage of the first couple of rounds.
It's got to be ESPN Plus.
And, Quail Hollow in Charlotte, where Rory has won a lot. They've referred to it many times this week as Rory McIlroy Country Club. So
it's coming on at noon.
Kind of fun to see Rory if he could make it two in a row to start the season. That'd be fun. Obviously, Jordan Spieth, the one major he doesn't have on his resume is the PGA Championship. If he won it, then he'd be the Grand Slam winner as well.
Thank you, because I saw that and I was like, I saw that a couple days ago, and I was like, okay, it's been forever since he won that Masters. And everybody
it's been over 10 years.
And somebody crowned him as the next one and everything. And I'll be making fun and everything. I know this dude's a hell of a golfer. Mm-hmm. You know, but they were just fist pumping and just propping him up.
It was crazy, man.
And it was unbelievable.
Dude won the U.S. Open, the Masters, and the British in like 18 months.
And it was crazy.
It was like, wow.
That's solid.
That's really impressive.
Really.
But then you watch him play and be like, well, I mean, he's really good, obviously, but
is he that good?
Is he going to putt like this forever? Yeah. And it turns out the answer was no.
Yeah, that was my only thing.
If he wins this, he's a Grand Slam winner.
Yeah, where's he at now?
Where is he? I don't know.
Oh, never mind. You got to search for him.
Well, I don't know. There's a million. He might not have even teed off yet. Never mind. I don't know.
But you saw this, Andy, and I know we're getting to the NFL No Huddle at the top of the hour, but this was I was always curious about how the owners felt about it. It says NFL owners will discuss a resolution
at
next week's league. Meaning that would allow NFL players to participate in the Olympics, which will include flag football for the first time. I guess they came up with a resolution. It says resolution which permits no more than one player from each NFL team to participate in the 2028 Olympics, mm-hmm. plus a team's designated international player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. I wrote it down to maybe get to in the NFL No Huddle. But yeah, like that's a big step, I think. Like the NFL is trying to help out in terms of embracing this thing to grow the game,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, because I think the realization that football has had that basketball maybe has an advantage in and baseball has an advantage in international, mm-hmm. but it's also like – those games are just easier to grow internationally because you don't need the infrastructure that it takes for football. You need 22 guys with helmets and pads and coaches who know how to do it and a culture to sort of like, but flag is different.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's way less equipment. It's mm-hmm. way easier to just go out there to the field and play. And, you know, also probably a little bit more like accepting of different types of physicality. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't have to be 6'5", 280 to be able to do it.
Because that hurts.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I'm sure other countries have guys that they have big people too.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know how many left tackles have come out of like Argentina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe I'm missing them, but I think it's a smart way to try to grow the game internationally.
Yeah, but that because I mean I was like, you know, when the hell NFL owners are going to let their players play in their Summer Olympics? Because you think about when the Summer Olympics, it's a training camp.
Right.
That's when you know season about to start. No, you can't play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Oh, send that practice squad receiver. My star players? Hell no.
Right. That's the thing. One guy from a roster, and I don't know who all will be on it, but
no, y'all ain't going.
They must have sat the owners down with a nice little PowerPoint presentation where they were like, all right, here's what happened when the Dream Team was consisted of NBA players mm-hmm. in 1992 mm-hmm. and the value of the franchise then versus the value of the franchise now. And they were like, that could be us in 30 years. They were all like, yeah, let them play.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Yeah. But I'm,
go play flag. Do whatever you want.
Hold on. Like, if, because again, my star player, you ain't playing it. I'm thinking, go Falcons roster. Who would you let go over there? and play.
You got one guy?
One guy. You got one guy.
You know, maybe Kadarryl Hodge.
That was the same exact damn name.
I think Kadarryl Hodge would be
that
a really.
The same exact name that I had.
Kind of do it all.
Yeah, that
you know?
Was the same exact damn name that I had. The same exact name.
Bijan would be pretty good at
no,
it.
No, hell no.
By 28?
I don't care.
Nah, Bijan.
No. Bijan's going to be at the midst of his second contract.
Yeah, no, Bijan's going to be exactly.
Yeah, yeah, there's no way in hell I'm letting him go.
Yeah, of course not.
But I sure did think Kadarryl Hodge.
Yeah, Kadarryl Hodge is the right guy. That's the guy you sent.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
All right, so there was some NBA playoff games last night. The Celtics.
You called it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not so much about them as it is about the Knicks. I'm going to keep saying it, and, you know, if they make the East Finals, then whatever, I'll have to eat my words. I just don't think they're all that good, and I thought the Celtics had a really nice game plan last night. Smart move not playing the guy who can't do anything for, like, 35 minutes like they've been doing with Kristaps Porzingis. They admitted after the game, hey, he can't really breathe.
Yeah.
Probably hard to play NBA basketball if you can't breathe.
It's amazing with all of the advanced medicine and doctors and all, they can't figure out what the hell's wrong with him. Mm-hmm. Now, they probably know, just won't tell us. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
either way, like, figuring out what's wrong with him is one thing. Continuing to try to ask him to play meaningful playoff minutes when he can't do anything is another.
Yes.
And it took him forever. But they finally were like, all right, put Luke Kornet in there, see what he's got.
He played his ass off.
One of the more unexpected performances that I can remember in NBA playoff history. Like, I know he had 10 and 9. So if you're like looking at the box score, it's like, what?
Look at the whole game.
He had 7 block shots. He was like legitimately dominant in the third quarter when they were extending their lead. And again, he just sort of gave them an element that Porzingis had given them when healthy last year and earlier in this season that he wasn't giving them anymore. And, you know, obviously that's going to be something people focus on because Kornet is an unexpected hero. Jaylen Brown played the best basketball game maybe that I've ever seen him play. I know he was the finals MVP last year, but the way that he controlled that basketball game last night was a thing of beauty.
That was like, I thought about this bunk. It's like, of course you want Jason Tatum, but would he control the game like that with Jason Tatum?
No,
exactly.
No, his role is completely different.
Exactly. So allowing him to, they had 12 assists yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Most he's ever had in a game.
And he guarded Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing they did yesterday, and they stuck with it, is making Brunson defend. He got fouled out.
Mm-hmm.
Making
Cat 5 fouls in the third quarter.
Make Cat defend. They did what we keep asking them to do about this. But the biggest thing, they hit 22 threes.
Right. I mean, that's really what it boils down to with the Celtics.
Derek Wright was awesome yesterday.
They would have 5 wins in this series if they had made their threes and not completely faded down the stretch in these games. Now, I'll say Game 4, the Knicks were playing well anyway, even with Tatum getting injured.
Right.
They probably were going to win that game. But if the Celtics make their threes, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
Just like they did last year when they won the championship.
And that's the thing about it is going back to Matt, and we were having fun with it. Knicks will win it tomorrow night in Madison Square Garden. That team, if they make threes, they'll beat the Knicks tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They will. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing with it is that the guys who played their ass off that we talked about with the Knicks that play well, they'll beat anybody. What the hell was Ananobi yesterday?
Yeah, 6 points. Played awful.
What up,
1 of 12 from
what
the
up,
field. 9 points. 4 of 14 from the field.
You know what I'm saying? When those guys don't come to play, this is going to happen. Jalen Brunson can't just carry the whole thing. He needs these guys to help. And they helped in the previous game. Even though Jason Tatum did go down, like Bridges coming across the middle of the lane – like floating fadeaway.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that super high release, like fade into the baseline. It's like, what is this like?
Yeah,
like prime Kevin Durant. What are we looking at
exactly
here? And then he goes on the road and completely turtles. I don't understand that. But yeah, like that's the thing with the Knicks is they don't have any depth.
No.
So when those guys aren't like they're role players, obviously, because they're not Brunson, Towns, whatever. But like, they're starters. Like, those guys are going to play 40 minutes a night. This is Tom Thibodeau basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be in the starting lineup and not have a performance and expect your team to win. The Celtics have way better depth. The thing is, last night, that depth actually showed up.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing for me was, with Tatum being out, like, all right, how does everyone's role – because Tatum tends to play the role that Jaylen Brown played last night of just kind of, like, dictating the tempo of the game. Everything flows through him. Jaylen Brown did it, which then meant Derek White got to play the Jaylen Brown role, which is just green light city.
Go.
Just shoot whatever. Like, go to the rim, do whatever you want. Obviously, having Kornet sort of fill that role of Porzingis in the second half and do it well was a big deal. Drew Holiday played probably his best game of the playoffs so far. Al Horford was hitting open threes.
Do you think that helped that they put Jake, because Jalen Brown guarded Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that helped with the Holiday? Because Holiday was pretty much the primary defender.
Yeah, I think it helped Holiday and White.
Banged up, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it helped both of them. And again, I don't know that Derek White's going to give you 35 every single night, but you know, maybe it's not him in game six. Maybe it's a little bit more Peyton Pritchard off the bench, or maybe Cornette playing like a full slate of minutes for the game. They probably put him in the starting lineup, I would think, going into game six with Porzingis just unable to do anything. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if they found like the key to unlocking the series last night, but it felt like they found something.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know. That's what we were talking about yesterday. They're just too talented to have it go the way that it was going with the Knicks. Like, they were going to shoot better, and even with Tatum out, I still think they have probably more talent than the Knicks have.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves are in the Western Conference Finals for the second straight year. Is Anthony Edwards the greatest Minnesota Timberwolf ever now?
No.
No, not yet?
No.
KG went to one.
I know KG went to one, but KG, I would still say KG's the best.
I would, so too.
I would say KG's the best.
I just heard people doing that.
Yeah.
I was like, but he's about to be,
but he's gonna,
like, if he doesn't leave, he's
going to
be.
He's going to be. Yeah. But I'm still going to give it to Kevin Garnett. But I'm telling you this, there's nobody playing better basketball at the right time than the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers. At this time right now, they have hit their stride. And the thing about it was, both teams struggled at the beginning of the season. But as Minnesota, with the new parts, the injuries, and all those different things.
Indiana had injuries too, and Haliburton just wasn't playing very well coming off the Olympics.
Their ass off, man. And Julius Randle is like, okay, I'm just going to play bully ball. I'm going to play bully ball. And you know what? And Ant-Man kind of like, he kind of didn't need to be Superman last night.
No, exactly.
Let me just let y'all go. Hey, y'all go do y'all thing. When I need to get mine, I will go get mine. Because there's nobody over there that can stop me. And so, you know, when you go back to, you know, him, I saw the Thanos pose today with the fist, with the Thanos thing on that the kids have. You know, he's taking out another veteran, another legend. Now, he didn't play.
Unfortunately, he didn't.
And so people are blaming Jimmy because Jimmy was supposed to get, but Jimmy's ass hurt.
I don't know what people want from that team without Steph. Like, you could say that if you want to, but just look at the way they play.
Yeah.
You know, it's just completely different. He might be the superstar in the NBA whose team is most dependent on what he does, both on the ball and off of it. Like, I don't know. I mean, you said, look, Tatum didn't play last night. The Celtics were okay. Like, and they were able to stick to their identity. Like, the Warriors change, like, their complete code when Steph's not on the floor.
Yeah.
Because they can't do what they want to do with him not on the floor. And what really sucks is, like, the quarter and a half he played in the series, he was playing awesome.
13-13.
Like, this might have been a 7-game series where Steph and Ant-Man had to go back and forth and wrestle this thing away from each other's cold, dead hands.
13-13.
Unfortunately,
yeah, 13 minutes.
Steph doesn't play in the next 4 games and they lose all 4 of them. And I don't know, people can talk about Jimmy Butler, whatever. What's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Because the whole focus went to him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Kuminga, and I was looking. Yeah, he got to go. It's how Kuminga going to go. He's a restricted free agent. For some reason, him and Steph can't play together.
Yeah, I don't understand exactly what went on there, because Kuminga's obviously very good.
Yeah, but they can't play together.
I guess.
Is that a Steve Kerr thing or that's a Steph Curry thing?
Like,
I don't play with this guy.
Or a Kuminga thing or Kuminga what? Thing. I don't know.
Because you got that one. You always got that one guy. Put me in, coach.
Right. No, Kuminga is pretty sure that he's prime Jordan.
Exactly.
Like, he's pretty sure
exactly,
that he is.
Exactly.
Which is a fine mentality to have.
Yeah, ain't no problem with it.
Now, you're not.
Right.
And when Steph's on the floor and Jimmy's on the floor and other guys probably want to make sure they get the ball, I think it's more like him and Jimmy kind of couldn't coexist. Their numbers on the floor together were awful, to the point where Kuminga just was out of the rotation. Mm-hmm. And then, de facto, Curry's hurt. Like, he's playing 30 minutes a game these last 4 games, and he played great.
Yes.
He had 26 points last night.
They're going.
Now, here's my question about Kuminga. Because, like, he's got to go. Like, you know, you're going to keep Steph and Jimmy and try to see if you can run it back and get healthy. But, like, okay, so where does Kuminga go? And when he goes there, what is he? Like,
Jordan Poole?
Right, I know. Doesn't that feel like it?
Yep.
Doesn't he feel destined to be like a Charlotte Hornet or something? You know, like, I do think that there are. I think if the Heat got him, though, like, I think if the Heat got him and they got Giannis or something, like, I think they could find a way to get the most out of him. I think there are certain situations where you could put Kuminga And because he's so good. Yes, like, he's obviously really talented.
Very good player.
Like, I think you could put him in certain situations and be able to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
He just feels destined to be like a Sacramento King or something like
but,
that.
But, I mean, you send him down to the Heat, and you find a way to get Giannis. Because I was thinking about this, like, what would you do with Giannis if somebody asked me if I was Milwaukee? Try to convince him to stay.
Oh, that's the first thing I would do. Yeah. Make a case to stay.
Well, yeah. Yes, I need you to stay here, Giannis.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not trying to trade
Tough case,
Giannis.
Though.
I'm not trying to trade Giannis.
What's your case?
A limited cheese? I mean, it's Milwaukee. I mean, ownership stake?
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they already made his brother's team.
Yeah.
Like, they're on it.
What else you want?
He's got max everything you could get money-wise. They don't have any draft picks.
None
so you can't
all.
Sell him on that. Dame's not going to play for a year.
Yeah.
They got Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah. Kyle too busy wanting to be a damn fashion model.
I just don't know how, like, I would do the same thing if I was Milwaukee. I just don't know where I start.
Like, if you a dog and you become a fashion model, fine. But if you ain't never been no dog and become a fashion model, it's different. Like, Stephon Diggs is a fashion model. Joe Bird, a fashion model. They be wearing back out tuxes and stuff. But they dogs. Damn, Kyle Kuzma did.
I scored a lot of points at Utah.
I bet.
College.
I bet he was hell up there.
He was.
With
that's good.
With all them, no, they were talking about.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what he's into.
That
Who
man,
knows?
That man in Utah, pretty boy in Utah?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.